Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The young people can be dismissed. We do have a class for them. See you guys. Don't eat the cookies. I don't think they heard me. And I don't. Right. And sometimes we never lose that as we grow old, you know? Selective hearing. But anyway, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's not a long chapter, 21 verses. But it's chock full. And it's just a wonderful chapter in the Word of God. Great instruction. Ways that God can help us and ways He can use us for His glory. So we will begin in verse 1, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Somebody said when you find therefore in the Bible, you see what it's there for. And if you'd read the previous chapter, you'd see about the goodness of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm going to speak today on reasonable service, and the rest of this chapter flavors that title. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Boy, there's good instruction there. There's a lot for us to be focused on. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And the qualifying statement there is, if it be possible. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Father, bless the word, the preaching, the teaching today. Bless the hearing of your word. May we open our hearts to it. I pray that you'll really speak to us and that areas in our life where we really need your help or the privilege to serve you, I pray you'd guide us into all truth now. Help us as we preach and help us as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. A reasonable service. We celebrate Veterans Day and we honor those veterans who served. One common question, I brought it out at the beginning of the service, is where did you serve? What part of the service were you in? And that is a common question among veterans. Where did you serve? What did your service for our country cost you? Sometimes it would cost something physical, sometimes something emotional, but there is a cost to that. What were you willing to pay to go into the armed services? And it's called services. So we have a reasonable service too, amen. There is a motive for it, and sometimes people join the service for a college education or occupation, a job, or whatever. There are different reasons for that. But when somebody joins the service to protect something for love of their country, there's a whole different appreciation of their service for the Lord. So when we talk about service, the definition of that is anything done by way of duty to a superior. So the armed forces, there's a chain of command, amen? You don't go to boot camp and everybody just does whatever they want, right? Now, the Marines did that. I think the Marines did that, but I'm not sure about the Army. But there's a chain of command, and they did that. Back in the book of Judges, twice it says this, there was no king in Israel, therefore every man did what was right in his own eyes. That would never work in the armed services. You couldn't plan warfare. You couldn't defend anything. So there was always some kind of chain of command there. In our service for the Lord, it's the same thing. You know, we talk about fight the good fight of faith, endure hardness as a good soldier. These are familiar verses. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so all those verses are there. But our service for the Lord, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We call him Lord because we acknowledge that he's our master, he's our savior, he's everything to us, he's our life, amen? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, Christ in you, the hope of glory, all of the things what Christ does for us, we submit to him, amen? We serve him, and that's in our songbook and it's in our Bible too. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 10, the Bible says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And duty is different than volunteer. It's different in the service. It's different in our service for the Lord. I graduated from high school. I was 17 years old. And this was right in 1968, right in the middle of the Vietnam War. And my brother was 2 years older. He had enlisted in the Navy. And so my draft number was 10. And back in the day, if your draft number was 10, you might as well just go home and pack your bags because you were going into the service. And I joined the Navy, and I wasn't in the Navy very long. I wrecked a motorcycle. I got to march in one parade. I got some shots. Yippee, you know. I got my uniforms. I got all that. I never did go to boot camp. But because of all of that, the Navy said I didn't have to be in the Navy. So they released me from that. I'm not a veteran. I don't have any veteran benefits. But that's just how it worked out. Well, it wasn't long after that, I got a letter in the mail from the Army. And it said I was to report for my physical in Cleveland, Ohio, on a certain day. And I threw the letter away because I was already, you know, out. I spent 8 days in the hospital, and there were some complications, so they didn't take me. So I threw the letter away, and it wasn't long after that I got another letter. And it threatened me with prison time if I didn't get on the bus and go to get my physical. So obviously I did that, and I went, and there's a bunch of guys on the bus, and the Vietnam War was a very unpopular war. I don't know if you remember that. And I was preaching one time in New York, and I spent some time with a man who had retired from the service, and he was a SEAL when he was in the service. And if you don't know anything about that, that's a really good soldier. And they're given very dangerous assignments. But he said when he came back from Vietnam and he was coming down the steps of the plane, they were protesting. There were a lot of protesters. And I won't go into everything he said, but one thing he said, I don't agree with this, but he said, if I had a gun, I'd have shot some people. A lot of his friends were killed in Vietnam, and he believed in that war, and he served his country. He was very faithful to his country. But anyway, I went through that part of the service, or part of the physical exam. And they took me in a room and they said, we noticed here that you had joined the Navy Reserve. And I said, yeah. And they said, explain why. And so I did. And they said, just go home. But on the bus, on the way home, because all these other guys had passed their physical, they were talking about leaving this country and going to Canada, going across the border. A lot of them were going to go home and get braces put on their teeth. Because if you had braces, they wouldn't take you. You know, there's some kind of physical thing. And they were thinking, you know, all these reasons to get out of the service. I was in many ways happy that I didn't have to go. I didn't have the mindset I do now. But anyway, there were people that were drafted, and my number was 10, and there were people that volunteered. What a difference in the motive in those two people. Those that were drafted had to go. They had to go. They had no choice about it. But those who volunteered did so of their own free will and of their heart. We are not drafted, so to speak, into the Lord's army. Amen? We volunteer. And God will use us if we just volunteer. And He will direct our steps. And He will give us His strength and power. And we can serve the Lord with glory and honor for His name, and He can do great things with us and through us. Amen? But we volunteer for that because it's of our free will. And we'll see that as we get into the message. Enough on my past and my history. In Psalm 100, verse 2, there's a lot of verses that speak like this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That is a reasonable thing. Amen? Serve the Lord. How will I serve the Lord? With gladness and singing. That is a reasonable thing to ask people. There's a song that says, let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. Now, there's people that don't sing because they can't sing. But if you can sing, lift up your voice to the Lord. Amen? Because that's what we're supposed to do. He is the living sacrifice. He died for us. And so the Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice and present our bodies. In one preacher writes this, the Jewish dispensation with its sacrifices was ended. It was closed when Christ, our Passover, was offered for us. But a new order of sacrifice has come in, and we should give ourselves. They took the blood of bulls and they took the blood of goats. They killed this animal, that animal, and sacrificed it for the Lord. But in the New Testament, we don't do that. Amen? That was Old Testament. What we do is we give our bodies a living sacrifice, not put to death, but given, where we die daily to ourselves and we live unto Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, well, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 14. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. You have once for all, one sacrifice, one offering. He did that by giving himself on the cross. He made the ultimate sacrifice. And then he says, we're to be a living sacrifice. That only makes sense. Amen? And there's verses that say, He died for us so we can live for Him, so we serve our Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. God so loved that He gave. There are a lot of things in this world that steal our love for Christ. But if we love Him, unto you which believe He is precious. And it is a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord and to fight in His army. We have 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Not my will, but thine. I delight to do thy will. These are all statements that our Lord made. For the joy that was set before thee, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And so here is an application. There are many verses like this, but try and fit this into the message. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God. And in Romans it says the love of God is in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for for the brethren. That is our reasonable service. Because he laid down his life for people, we are to lay down our life for people, that they might know the Lord. And we do that for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at quite a few verses today. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll see this principle in every area of our life. We do this for the Lord's sake, for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he did so much for us. And when that gets a hold of us, it is not duty, it is volunteer. We are thankful. And that thanksgiving shows itself and by what we do. Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. That principle in every one of those verses. We serve the Lord. Why do we do that? Because we're not serving men, we're serving him. Whether people appreciate that or not, God tells us how to serve him, and we do that, and there are many blessings because of that. Look in your Bibles at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I already have my Bible marked. I can just go there. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 18. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You ever had a job where you didn't have a good boss? This is, yeah, all of them. This is a good scripture. Amen? Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, to the ungovernable, to the difficult ones. We are supposed to do something as to the Lord. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. He did this for us. We are to do this for him. Amen? That only makes sense. That's why it's called reasonable service. Look with me at chapter 3. This is 1 Peter chapter 3. I don't know of a wife anywhere that has a perfect husband, except my wife, you know, of course. But I don't know any other ones. But here's a wife, and she has an unbelieving husband. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. Those things aren't that important. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. In the sight of God, that is a great price that woman serves a husband who doesn't obey the word. Amen? And there's never a case where you obey a husband or obey anybody to violate the scripture. Amen? We ought to obey God rather than man. But this is a difficult situation. But that's what it says. In the sight of God, it's a great price. What is a great price? Serving reasonable service to your husband, to your boss, all these things that we're talking about. Look at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Boy, that's a good one too, isn't it? A soft answer turneth away wrath. And then you start pulling the scriptures, the word of God into your life. You say, I'm going to do this for the Lord because this is what he says in his word. I am not retaliate. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. Amen? And so we start to apply these principles in our life. And the reason we do it, it is reasonable to do that because the Lord has done so much for us. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Did I tell you to stay there? Oh, I forgot. Ephesians chapter 5. And look with me at verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Well, but my wife is cantankerous. I'm not saying that about my wife. I'm preaching, amen? But, well, my wife's cantankerous. Well, there's another verse in Colossians that says, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And so there's all of these verses. It goes on here. What verse are we at? Verse 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So there's another picture. The husband loves the wife. Why? Because God says we ought to do that. The wife loves the husband. That God says we ought to do that. Let's go to the children here, chapter 6. And there's a way to train children that they might love the Lord. It's a personal decision. They might not do it, but we are to train our children to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto the Lord." And so we go on and on and on. And you can find a number of verses like this. One more. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We don't talk politics. We're just reading the Bible. Amen? Say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I think this is bad, and I think this is good, and we all have our opinions about that. But when we bring it to the Scripture, we find out what God wants us to do. Verse 1 of chapter 2. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God," in the sight of God and our Savior. Doesn't mean we don't oppose something or vote a certain way or try to show people the truth about what is moral, what is immoral, what is righteous, what is unrighteous. But we are to pray. In Romans, I think it's chapter 13, the higher powers. There's a higher power than the powers of the land. Amen? But we are supposed to obey the laws of the land. So if the Bible or the law of the land says wear a seatbelt, you don't have to violate the Bible to wear a seatbelt. Amen? Well, nobody's going to tell me to wear a seatbelt. Well, God can tell you to wear a seatbelt. Okay, enough there. We're going to stop there. Amen? Pray. We intercede for those in charge. And that's good in the sight of God. You have that all through all of these verses. Amy Carmichael, well, a great Christian lady, she wrote, among other things, this poem. And it's called Calvary Love. And I just take a few excerpts from it. And she says, "If I have not compassion on my fellow servant, even as the Lord had pity on me, then I know nothing of Calvary love, because that's what he did for us. If I can easily discuss the shortcomings and the sins of any, then I know nothing of Calvary's love. If I take offense easily, if I am content to continue in a cool unfriendliness, though friendship be possible, then I know nothing of Calvary love. If a sudden jar can cause me to speak an impatient, unloving word, then I know nothing of Calvary love. For a cup brimful of sweet water cannot spill even one drop of bitter water however suddenly jolted, because there's no bitter water to spill. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. If I do not give a friend the benefit of the doubt, but put the worst construction instead of the best on what is said or done, then I know nothing of Calvary love. It says, love thinketh no evil. Evil surmisings will just destroy you. You know what a negative thinker is. Amen. And they're positive thinkers. And here you hear something, and sometimes we're quick to fabricate something and magnify something that's not even true. Amen. And that's not good. Listen to these verses. I'll just read a number of them and see what God is saying here. Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Without a humble spirit, it's hard to serve. It's hard to serve the Lord. It's hard to serve your fellow man. It's hard to serve your wife or your husband or whoever, because there's pride that gets into that. Only by pride cometh contention. So serve with all humility of mind. Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. If you don't have humility and love, you're not going to serve one another, because we don't only serve people that we benefit from serving. Well, I'll be nice to the boss because he might give me a raise. I'll be nice to the boss because I'm looking for a promotion or a better job. No, we're nice to the boss because God tells us to be nice for the boss. Amen? Matthew 23:11. Nobody said amen to that, but we'll go right on. Amen. Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. The great one is not the one being waited on. This is what God says. The great one is the one waiting on others, serving other people. Luke 22:27. Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. Luke 16:13. No man can serve two masters. What fellowship hath light with darkness, righteousness with unrighteousness? Nobody can serve two masters. It says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. 1 Kings 18, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And so there's no middle ground here. It's Lord, Lord, why call you me Lord and do not the things I say? So we want to listen to him. We want to follow him. Two masters, two minds, two opinions, always pulling against reasonable service. Always. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And so it's singleness. It's a light. And it says in Matthew 7:3, why beholdest the mote that's in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And if the beam is in your eye, and all you see is what's wrong in other people, there won't be reasonable service because of the mercy God's shown you. You won't connect it with God's been so good to you when you didn't deserve it, amen, that you could be so good to somebody when they don't deserve it. But you're doing it for the Lord who did it for you. Did I make that clear? I don't know. Got mixed up there. But it's so important. It says about our Savior. Well, Luke chapter 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10. We're on a course to read a lot of Bible. This is still the introduction. I should be through with the introduction by 11. Amen? It's just testing your spirit. I just tested your spirit. I don't know what you felt about that. Luke chapter 10. If all you're concerned with is serving to benefit, I'll work 8 hours and I get paid. I'll do this and people will like me. I will serve in this area and so I get a pat on the back. If that's the only reason we serve, then we're not going to serve the way the Lord wants us to serve. Sometimes we serve and nobody even notices, and there's no reward that men give us. But it's rewarded by the Lord. Amen? He knows. He knows what we do for him. We have this story here. Let's pick it up. Oh, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up. lawyer. They have a reputation. Amen. And tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The first prerequisite is loving God. Amen. And we if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. It says, And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? He's a lawyer. He's looking for a loophole, right? So that, okay, yeah, it could be this guy, but it wouldn't be this guy. But Matthew chapter 5 says, Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Boy, that's tough. But you do it for him. You do it for the Lord Jesus Christ because he did that for you. You go on in this text and says in verse 30, Jesus is going to answer this. A certain man went down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Man, I am not getting involved in that. There's no need for me to do that. What would I have to do to help that person? Well, man, he's half dead. They've stripped him of everything. He has no way to even walk. And so they just pass by on the other side. Amen? But there was a good Samaritan. We'll read about him. It says, But a certain Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came to where he was and saw him and had compassion on him. It tells us in the book of Jude, and have compassion, making a difference. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. The principle is there. Amen? But we serve not because we get something. This man did not get anything by giving so much, except recorded in the scriptures. I think that's pretty good. Amen? And he did what the Lord wanted him to do. Look down a little bit further. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Right away, the one that was doing something is corrected because it affected her attitude. She was worried about what her sister was doing. What about my sister? What about my sister? I'm doing all the work here. And it did not profit her any. Amen? And Mary hath chosen the good part. The eye needs to be single. The will is just for God to be glorified and honored. You say, well, it's a waste of time. I'm not going to be able to help them. You can show the love of Christ to them. You can minister to them. Turn to your Bibles to Luke 15, just a few pages to the right. A few pages to the right. You have the story of the prodigal son. Boy. It's a long story. We probably won't read it all. But you're probably very familiar with this. A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger son came and said, Give me my inheritance. I'm tired of being at home. I'm just going to go explore the world. He gave him his inheritance. Off he went. He went into a far country. He wasted his living, wasted everything on riotous living. And then a famine came. And he's eating the slop, the hog slop, right? And all of a sudden, the Bible says, he came to himself. man, there's bread enough to eat in my father's house. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. He rehearsed his speech. He came, and while he was coming home, it was a long journey, but his father was looking for him all that time, and his father ran out to meet him. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And so he comes there, and his father runs out to meet him, hugs his neck, puts a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, gives him the best robe, says, we're going to have a party. Amen? That's a picture of God. That's us. We were sinners. We did not deserve salvation. By his grace, by his mercy, he saved us. Amen? That's nothing to boast in. Our boast is in the Lord. So we're sinners, and he saved us. And here the father is holding this young man, his son. And the servants are all rejoicing. Everybody associated with it. But something didn't work out. Look at with me at verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with thy friends, my friends. But as soon as this thy son, he wouldn't even call him his brother, was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That's a picture of God. That's a picture of God. And there may be people all around you condemning you for the life you used to live or the life you're living now. But there's a merciful God that if you draw nigh to him, he's going to run out to meet you. Amen? And it's going to be a glorious thing. Mercy is wonderful. Grace is wonderful. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But grace is found at the throne of grace, Hebrews. The mercy is found at the mercy seat, Exodus. And all we have to do is draw nigh to God. Isn't that a blessing? It doesn't matter how many times you fall. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. It's rising back up and getting back towards God. Just confessing your sin. David knew the peace and the power of that. Such a blessing. Such a blessing to know that. Look at chapter 18. A little bit over chapter 18. I hope this is kind of sinking in, because all we have to do to have reasonable service is just do what God says. Amen? Just do what he says. But if you don't do that, it's not reasonable. You're not going to do it unless you profit from it. We live in a world, you know, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the extreme. But we live in a world where we look, how is this going to work for me? What is the benefit of doing this? And as we do that, you cannot do what God wants you to do because you're looking for something that just you want to do. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He spake this parable unto them which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood, prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Here's all the negative. Look at this guy. I'm not like him. And then he starts bragging. And he says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And there it is. Reasonable service is doing what God wants you to do when people don't deserve it to be done to them or for them. We love our neighbor. We love our enemy. We pray for those that despitefully use us. And we do that because it honors God, and God God is pleased with that. Two masters, two minds, two opinions. Philippians 2:7. Made himself of no reputation. This is speaking of our Savior. And took upon him the form of a servant. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Luke 10:37. Go and do thou likewise, the Good Samaritan. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? If you yield yourself to obey the flesh, to obey what people are saying around you, to obey what's going to benefit you, many times you'll go that way and you'll be that servant. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and follow me. David Jeremiah, very familiar man, preacher, said, every time we deny ourselves in order to serve someone else, we grow in Christ. Lecrae wrote this, if you aim for only wealth, beauty, fame, and power, you aim too low. Humility, gentleness, gratitude, and service is aiming high. Spurgeon wrote, one of the greatest rewards that we ever received for serving Christ is the permission to do still more for him. When we do this, he's going to give us more opportunity, more opportunity, more opportunity. In Acts chapter 17, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Take your Bible and turn to Thessalonica, or Thessalonians. Paul is at the church of Thessalonica here. Go to Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. I'm trying to be reasonable because we're talking about reasonable service. And so I've given you the example of what Christ has done for us and what he's asking us to do for him. That is reasonable. Amen? He's keeping us out of hell. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to suffer that because he died for us. That is a real blessing. Amen? And because of that, we ought to serve him. I mean, what would you give in exchange for your soul? Nothing. We have 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols, rest of the verse, to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son. We turn to God from idols, that's repentance. You turn from something, you turn to something. We turn from idols to serve the living and true God. How long you halt ye between two opinions? We can't be in the middle. That's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. We look at chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. These are not my words. These are the Lord's words. And I'm preaching this so that if we do our reasonable service, we are going to help the cause of Christ. Amen? People are going to be saved. People will see that Christianity is a real blessing. Our life is going to speak volumes. We are his epistle, written and read in the hearts of all men. We're a living Bible. Amen? People judge Christianity on who we are. In Acts chapter 24, Paul, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call thee. In Acts 26, two chapters later, he's before King Agrippa and speaking the word of God and his testimony. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And sometimes we hear what the truth is. Yes, that's the truth from God's word. But when it's a convenient time, I'll start doing it, you know. And we don't do what God wants us to do. When you serve the Lord, you'll be rewarded in heaven. Amen? And sometimes there are rewards down here. But many times, it costs us to serve the Lord. But we do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were with the Lord, and it says in Luke 9, there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest? Here we are, church. Who are the greatest in the church? There's a reasoning, you know, and they were talking about it, But Jesus knew what was in their heart. Who are the greatest people in our church? You know, Jesus answered that. He said, he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. The same shall be great. Amen. Be a servant. Reasonable service. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Boy, what a picture. That's the Lord Jesus Christ that said that. And so we sang, I will serve thee because I love thee. It's funny, when as you go through the scriptures, we die to live. We give to get. We humble ourselves to be exalted. It's exact opposite of what the philosophy of the world teaches. Amen? Your reasonable service. Just serve the Lord today. God will give you all kinds of opportunities. Maybe it's letting somebody get in front of you for food. Well, I'm not going to go that far. But just serve the Lord today. And as you learn the scriptures and learn what Christ would desire for your life, it's not your will, it's his will. He'll use you over and over and over. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you. Thank you for the privilege we have to serve you. I pray that we would serve you. I pray that our service would be reasonable. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. And even when we don't feel like it, may we honor you with our life. May we make our decisions based on what would please you. Bless us now during this invitation. I pray that you've spoken to every heart and that you would be pleased with our response. In Jesus' name, amen.